for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota Sound, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9, your source for Powell Estill Sports. Right?
Right, yeah. It's been a day or a minute or two or 2 weeks or something since we've even been on.
At least 2 weeks since we've been on, right? At least two
like
weeks.
Like April the 10th or something. It's been
about a month. No, I'm just kidding. It's the first, so it's been about 3 weeks.
Actually, it was April the 10th. Yeah, April the 10th, last time we were on.
So 3 weeks since we have been with you all. It's good to be back in this cool place.
Yeah, right.
In the studio.
Yeah.
It's hot.
The humidity.
87?
You know,
I'm not sure it's 87. My car says 87, but my car could be inaccurate.
Well, I know the 90 degree temperatures, it's, you know, right there on the cusp, right?
Don't we usually have a temperature somewhere on the temperature check here at WSK?
Well, they do that on the radio at different intervals of time, maybe the top of the hour.
Yeah, see, I'm not seeing it. Anyway. Yeah, the PCS in temp, I should have listened. I would have heard.
Well, there you go. It's been a while.
It's warm. it's warm. Again, good practice today. So, senior trip going on at the high school. So, our seniors are away. So, the baseball team, softball teams, both off for the next couple days.
At this point, let's go on and do girls softball.
Okay.
Just because where it's been a while. And obviously, you've not had a lot of games.
No.
3-9 on the season at this point.
3-9, is that what it is? That,
yeah, 3-9. But at the same time, just, again, you and I have talked, whether it was school trips, right? FBLA, you know, I mean, some of your players taking off going in that direction. Prom, senior trip. Again, there have been all kinds of things where you've been shorthanded. Obviously, weather has played a factor as well at different times.
Well, for softball, and I'll go this route, and I'll start here first. This is probably, this is our lowest number of participants that I've ever had. And I've been involved with the softball program since 94. A couple years I took off to go to baseball, but since 94, nowhere close to the numbers we have now. We're so low. So when we have more than two or three players out, it really makes us struggle. So,
and no JV team as well.
And no
because
JV
of,
team.
Because of the numbers.
All right,
yeah.
So we start out April with spring break. So I've kind of got to the point to where the kids like to take trips. If they do take trips, then I'm not going to worry about it. We just not schedule games during spring break.
Right.
Normally, at least I would schedule to the back end of April, but this time I just took the entire week of April, first week of April off. We roll into the next week of April, FBLA, FCCLA competition, state competitions. We have, I think there were 6 kids involved in that, in FBLA and FCCLA, and I'm not complaining, it's just, you have 6 involved in those, and you have games, and you're not playing.
Right.
With only the 13 we have. So, since then, we pulled up some middle school kids. But that being said, we go the school activities, and then we roll into the all 2A tournament. And pretty much everything had to be scheduled around the 2A. We were actually a host site for the 2A tournament, which was on a Tuesday, and then the Thursday was a championship game. So, we actually got rain. In between, we got rained out on the Tuesday, couldn't play on the Thursday, wound up going to Bath to play the home game, lost that, but we had to cancel the game to play the all-2A game. So the all-2A kind of put a little wrinkle in everybody's schedule, including baseball's as well, not just ours. And then roll into prom. Normally give the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off prior to prom. I know it's a lot for some folks, but when you have to deal with what we have to deal with, it's, you'd understand. Normally, I don't play on Wednesdays anyway.
Right.
So, basically, I give them Thursday, Friday off. And then,
and it's different with girls than it is boys, just based on the prep, no matter if it's the dress, the makeup, the hair, et cetera. It's a lot.
So, we roll in and play, I think we played, We played Lee. We've played Estill,
Jackson City.
That's it in April.
Yeah.
So Lee, Jackson City, Estill,
Bath. You had Bath and in Bath. There.
So
yeah.
Four games in the month of April, and that is my April. April's over.
Five games.
The Alza County game wasn't at April Bix, right? No.
No, you had Bath was the original one, and that was on the 15th of April. Mm-hmm. So then you had Bath, Paris, Estill, Jackson City, and Lee.
So five games
yeah.
in the month of April. So still, five is the lowest number of games I've ever played in April. I think we did start out with 15 on the schedule. Good intentions, right?
Yeah.
Then this month we had, I think, 13 games scheduled for the rest of the season. And now that's kind of been altered a little bit. We don't play the rest of this week. Scheduled to play Owsley as a makeup game on the 4th. Couldn't work out a time switch. So this is like officially unofficial for right now. Haven't got the confirmation, but we're pretty 99% sure. I'll go ahead and say that real quick, that we will play Owsley County at 5:00 on Monday. Here, it'll be their home game at our place because we also have another district game we have to play, and that's Estill County. So we'll play Estill County in the nightcap. We'll play Owsley County in the 5:00 game. Come right back the next night and have Lee County at 5:30 and Paris the 7:30 game. So it's not the best situation for us, but we are trying our best to get all of our district games in before they gave us a cutoff of May 8th. So we're trying to get everything played before then. And if I have to move the game to the 8th, I don't have enough players to play.
Right.
So we've got kids that have two kids having one kid having surgery, one kid going on vacation starting this weekend, and another kid will be out from the 8th to the 14th on another event, and no middle schoolers out now due to a game. So when I say it that way, we only have 8 left. So we can't start a game with 8, so therefore we can't play
right.
on the 8th. That's my pity party for myself. So anyway, the district right now seats, the Estill County will be seated number 1. That's the only lock in the softball side. Lee County is right now the favorite to be the 2 seed, and the Powell Owsley game is really important for deciding who the 3 and the 4 are. If we win, we're the 3. If they win and we lose to both Estill and Lee, they're the 3. So it takes one win for the Pirates of either Powell or, excuse me, Owsley, Lee, or Estill. Powell's the 3. If Owsley beats us and Lee and Estill both beat us, then we are now the 4 seed in the tournament and would play Estill in the first round. And this year, really, Estill and Lee are the 2 most dominant teams. They've swept Owsley, and they're up on us 1-0. Beat us 8-1 up there in that game. So, just to give you a little update on the league game, that was a week ago?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. 26th. Yeah, last Tuesday.
Yeah, they played 4 in a row last week, did the Lee County, and I thought, you know, maybe Presley would be a little bit tired by Friday, and actually threw 388 pitches in the 3 days prior to our game, and I thought she was probably as effective as I've ever seen her against us on Friday night, so she didn't lose anything.
Right.
And then I was impressed with Presley Cundiff for Lee County, and throwing 4 days, Tuesday through Friday, pretty tough feat for her.
We've talked about this at different times. Do you think for girls softball, a pitch count will be coming? Because obviously, you know, basically, as you know, you're kind of limited to 1, no more than 3 pitchers usually as far as in softball. And obviously, she's their go-to, and if she's pitching that many innings, you know.
I mean, she's not really. I mean, if you were pitching correctly, there's not that much stress on the arm. It's just more about just general fatigue. So if you're in shape and you've played a lot of softball, now Presley came out of playing basketball season, doesn't mean you're in softball pitching shape, but it means you should be in a little bit of shape for that. So the stamina is the key. If you can just get through, you don't have a lot of extra motions in your motion, your mechanics are solid. you should be able to pitch as many pitches as you want to. Now, you will get maybe a tired arm later on in the season by doing that. But Lee County is typically spreads their games out pretty well. It was just kind of an anomaly last week. They had to reschedule some games and shuffle, and actually had four back-to-back district games. And I talked to their coach, Kristen Brandenburg, and nothing that she wanted to do. It just, we had
sometimes
that
happens.
We
right,
had to move
yeah.
our game, and our game, the only thing that they had was the 26th. So when you have teams playing in the All-A and the All-2A, it really makes it difficult to find dates that are open. And, again, they play at the 1A, we play the 2A, and you're trying to find these common dates in the middle, and they're just hard to find.
And obviously it affects your regular schedule to try and fit in this tournament. So as far as just a perspective, do you think that participating in the 2A is beneficial, or do you think you'd rather skip that and just stick to your regular schedule? And realizing that there's going to be teams like Owsley or whatever, they're still going to do the 1A, you know.
Here's the thing, and I'm not knocking the 2A tournament. It's a great in theory. Again, and we'll get more in. It's a good thing in a minute. We'll talk about that later on. But right now, I think there's a push for some people in the state to go to a classification system. And when you look at the 1A, it's been around now for
years.
Yeah. And they've started the 2A in the last probably 5 years. So 2A includes basically everybody from, if you're looking at football classification, some 2A schools may be 1A now. But most schools are a bit following in the mix where we're 3A football, we're 2A softball and baseball, other sports too, volleyball, all the other teams can participate as well. But we compete with schools up to almost 1,500. We are at the lower level of that. And when I looked at when I was softball coach association president a few years ago, one of the things was we were looking at classification in softball, baseball. And most of the softball coaches didn't like it. It was, you know, the region that we look at now, our region, which would be Powell, Estill, Rowan, Greenup, Bath, Fleming, Mason. I think there was maybe one other team up in that area. That would be our 2A region. That's a tough region for Powell County. When you're talking about three or four of those schools, over 1,000 students, much higher numbers to participate. When you look at the All-A schools, you're talking about schools less than 350 kids for almost all those schools.
Right.
This number, if you're 500 kids, you're competing against teams with 1,200 to 1,500 kids. That's a tall order. But that being said, I think it's good in theory to have. Gives an extra competition to see where you are. It gives a lower to mid-level team an opportunity at a state tournament. And it's good if you look at it and from those parameters. I'm like everybody else. To me, the big thing is win your district, win your region, and get to a state tournament. I'm not knocking the 2A. I'm not knocking the 1A. But the goal for every team should be make the state tournament.
The end of the season yes. tournament as
With
opposed
all,
to the end season
all
tournament.
Teams included.
Right. Sure.
That's where I think everybody wants to get to. And I think actually for next year, I think there's only two sports, soccer and volleyball, participating in the 2A, from my understanding. You do pay to play by team, and most coaches have opted out from Powell County. So next year, it looks like there's only two sports participating next year.
And do you think most of that goes back to the scheduling aspects of it, right? Because now you're trying to adjust your schedule to fit in this and their time yeah. frame. Obviously, it's created problems for you scheduling-wise, just like it has everybody else.
And there's twofold, because my problem was I lost games that I could have played because of the All-2A. And on the flip side, baseball picked up games that they weren't expecting maybe to play, and that adds up to the number at the end. So you're still only allowed 36. There's no exceptions. If you play, you know, Powell County played three games in the 2A for the regional. They played three games in the state tournament. We'll talk about later. That's six additional games, well, at least five additional games that you may not have been accounting for.
Right.
We played Rowan in round one of the 2A tournament in baseball, defeated Rowan, who had been beating us by Mercy Rule early in the season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we beat a team that we weren't necessarily expected to beat, but since then it's been all good. But, again, we'll talk about that later on in the show. But I like the idea of the two-A. I like the idea of the one-A. I wish that there was an easy way to schedule. Maybe we just haven't figured it out. And I know every year some of the all-A teams play and we'll schedule a game and they'll wind up canceling because they went further than they thought. And so you lose a game, and now it's
right.
1A and 2A are both trying to figure out ways to get around it. And it's just it's really tough to
disrupt your schedule.
Yeah, I
mean, and the dates that you have set, and now I'm trying to, again, work in a game, and let's say that you had a game on Wednesday, and then now you've got to get a 2A squeezed in on Thursday because that's the deadline. But then you turn around having a game on Friday that was originally on your schedule. Now you're playing three consecutive games as opposed to getting a day off in between games.
And some of these schools are pretty good about picking up games. I have begged teams. Our schedule opened up for like the last 3 days. We had open on our schedule. Really glad now looking back at that we didn't, because I didn't know senior trips coming up.
Sure.
But we had originally had, I think we were playing the 29th and 30th. We had games. I forget why the 30th got canceled. The 29th got canceled because Lee County couldn't play. We moved out to 26th. Obviously, the game got played. We could have picked somebody else up on the 29th. But I sent out feelers earlier in the season. Sent out three feelers to find games. I couldn't get one reply back that one wanted to play. So,
right.
We say it's easy to find somebody to play, but it's not always easy. So.
And they're in the same boat as well, right? I mean, unless they've had somebody to cancel and there's a reason to add you to the schedule, they're going to stick to what theirs is, unless theirs has been overturned by the 2A or single A.
And then you have to notify, you know, your concession workers, your gate workers, the AD, the transportation if you're on the road. You got to get umpires lined up in a short notice, and sometimes that's not even possible. So with the shortage of officials, again, I'll make that speech again. We need more officials. So,
right, yeah.
I mean, it's just, and again, I don't think the pay's that bad. So, again, for softball-wise, you know, we're now winding down, and the schedule, again, for next week, I'll go over that again.
Yeah.
Tentatively, Monday will be 5 o'clock, Owsley, 7:30, Estill. Tuesday will be Lee County in a district game, and then Paris will follow that one. That game's, I think Lee County is 5:30 time. Start time.
That's what's listed. Yeah.
And then obviously an off day Wednesday. I think Thursday we have a game with
Wolf.
And then Saturday we play at Barberville and Clay County at Knott County on that Saturday. And that wraps up next week's schedule. But again, that's seven games. We played 12 all season. Got seven scheduled for next week.
See, that's crazy in and of itself, 12, right? Yeah, it's going to be busy.
12 games scheduled for the next 2 weeks. We've played 12 all season, so
right.
You can see they've piled up. And again, like I said, I had April pretty much full except for spring break and prom. Otherwise, April was full and wound up with only five games.
Right. So more than likely, we will at least have some of those games for you on the radio, Facebook Live. I'm not quite sure what that will look like going forward.
Yeah, because we just changed everything, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah. But at that point, but we definitely will. Right? Well, we could actually have all 3 days next week, depending on the boys' schedule, what's going on, you know, with the crew, the staff here at the radio station. But in general, we'll at least have some of those games going forward.
And possibly a doubleheader even.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And when you've got two district games, it's really nice to set up for two and be able to do that. However, it's rough on us. You know, you have to pick a game you're most competitive in and go for it. And obviously the second game that you got to just kind of hope you just get through it. You know what I mean? It's tough, but we don't have that depth in pitching we typically had.
And let me ask you this, just even player wise. So obviously you don't have a lot of players that necessarily have a lot of players to come out, and, or if they did, inexperienced at that, right? Maybe haven't even played. So you don't have a JV team. That obviously doesn't help going forward. What's the middle school? Are they kind of in a similar situation as far as numbers even?
Total numbers, I would say no. Now, I will also preface that. They've also pulled up some fourth and fifth graders to fill out the roster. And to me, it's kind of like this. It's softball has never been as low as it is right now. By saying that, Kelly, and she's the head coach of middle school, picked up a big win against Estill County last week, 3-2. I don't care if it's middle school, high school, what level it is, that's a big win
sure.
for our program. So we did something right, in that, at least in that game last week. Because I think in this region, softball, Estill County is your barometer, or has been. So we'll see, you know, and next year I really, it just, you know, whether I'm with the team or not, every the coach is, may have to pull up several middle school players to be competitive. Now, we've got some really good players, and we've had really good players in the last few years. We've had a losing record for the last 5 or 6 years, but we've had some of the best talent I've ever had. But we just haven't won a lot of games, and we're not as deep. We're short a couple players at different positions. And please, guys, if you're listening, please don't tell your kids when they're young that outfield is unimportant, because we're getting killed by outfield.
Right.
You don't see the importance to get to the next level. It's important to have outfield play. And for all you coaches that let the kids maybe hear you talk about, we've got to put a weak, we're going to hide people. Don't do that, because outfield is important.
Oh, it's
huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And I prefer to play in the outfield.
Well, I think this, though, with outfield, Ken, and not to mean to cut you off, but you either can pick up a read of a ball or you can't.
It, agreed, yes.
Now, for those who, like me, I never could track a ball well. Not that you can't learn a little, but it wasn't natural. For you, it was probably just natural tracking.
And it was. And at the same time, having practiced like we did, you know, back when we were growing up, at that point I had a good arm too. So therefore, I could throw it about like the Pirate players now. Got a good arm, I can throw it, hit third, hit second, or whatever else, hit the cutoff, and at that point you're making a good play and maybe limiting somebody to a single and or doubling somebody up potentially. I preferred it. I didn't care if I was in left, right, or center. Didn't matter to me. And of course, even as far as the outfield, oh, you don't want to be in right field. That's the weakest player on the field.
Yeah.
No, but it's not. Again, they are all equal in that regard.
I look at kind of our spray charts, and we've only played, like you said, 12, 13 games. And we may have only had like 4 balls in the air to left, probably 10 balls to center. But the most of our balls have been hit the right field. So...
they're all equally important. That's why you play with 9 or 10.
Exactly. You know? And again, I just think that the higher levels you go, the better levels you see when you're hitting balls in the air. A lot of people are teaching now to get these kids hit the ball in the air. It's really making our outfield play very, very important. So you look at the major league, and some of this is offensive generated, but your best players are usually – your best offensive players are usually in the outfield. They get the job done on defense. That being said, you got 9 guys that could probably play anywhere when we're at that level. Again, there's some guys that are just so much better than others in the outfield.
Right.
You know who those guys are every year. So it's just something you can't pick up. I look at, like, former Red player Nick Senzel, who was a natural third baseman for all his career. The Reds put him in center. He stayed hurt all the time, and now he's with the Washington Nationals. He's really having a career-type season to start off with them, because he's back at playing the position he's
right.
very comfortable with.
Sure.
Did a good job in the outfield for Cincinnati, but he stayed injured. So a lot of times outfielders do have extra injuries that surpass others because of either running into walls or whatever it might be. But,
sure.
You know, when you're not used to playing a position, injuries will happen, And with him, he's always been injury-prone as Red. Now he's a National. He's having a good season to start with him.
So let me ask you this before we take our first break here. Do you perceive a situation where going forward that girls' softball might be off the table just based on sheer numbers alone?
I don't think it can be. I think you, due to Title IX, you can offer a sport. If you don't have a number 1 year, you still keep the program, and you restart somewhere else, or you have to, and... Like I said, next year it may be a case to where maybe you don't have a middle school team. Maybe you bring
just to field a varsity team.
If you do have a middle school team, it's 6th grade down. maybe all your players come up and you have enough players, and it's something we've discussed. And you hate those discussions because you don't want to make – you want kids the opportunity to play.
Right.
And we've talked about this before. When you add sports, you decrease numbers somewhere.
Yeah, you're taking away somewhere else. Absolutely.
And it's great to add sports that we've added. They're thriving. Now, all of our girls' numbers, even in volleyball is probably our most stable.
I would agree. Group, yes.
But their numbers
maybe are, soccer.
But they're down. Their numbers are down. Our numbers are down. Basketball's numbers are down.
Yeah, that's another
so
sport that's
when you look
hurting
at the trend, there's no girls' sports, exception of cheerleading and volleyball, that are really holding their own. And volleyball is probably less than they were. So, that being said, I think it's down all around. Cheerleading probably the only exception. Volleyball is probably down a tick, but again, it's probably okay. If you've got 18, 19 kids, you're probably good. You don't want too many. But I would love to, this is a year I'd love to have had 18.
Well, in general, too, you're going to have parents. Again, you had players that were coming out that had never played before. At that point, parents are going to have to find a way at an earlier age to get their kids involved. Especially girls, right?
Listen,
at least give it a try.
Listen, we got people trying. Candy Brewer, I think, is still over our little league, and she has tried so hard to get kids to sign up for the program, and I'm not sure why kids aren't. Please, kids, if you want to play softball, keep this program alive. And what used to be one of our most successful programs has faded, and I hate it. I'll take my responsibility with it, but
it's not just in Powell, though.
But I would love to find some way to get this back. And kids have got to want to play, and it's you're playing on hot days, and it's dirty and nasty, and it is what it is.
But it's still fun.
Well, I'm not sure our kids enjoy it like we used to enjoy.
I could see that.
I think it's a little bit less than what it used to be.
Yeah.
These kids have got to be dedicated more than what they are. You just can't take a trip in the middle of season because you want to miss. To me, where's the commitment that used to be there? Missing practices, and we're in a position now in softball. I've got kids that miss practice. What am I going to do to them? Because if we don't play you, then we don't have enough to play.
Right.
I mean, if we had 18, we could have some good punishments going on, but it makes it tough when you're low numbers. I always wish I had this situation to where nobody's mad because playing time because they're all getting in. Well, no, they're all not getting in still, but now I got kids that take advantage, and it depends on what position you play sometimes. It makes it tough to be able to field a team. You hate to punish everybody for once.
Right, and one player who's a starter, you're out. Sometimes it's hard based on the numbers that you have to put somebody in a position that they're not used to playing either, rotating your team.
Is it really fair to all your other kids to punish them along with that kid? So
there's
multiple ways to look at that. But we're going to take a break. We'll catch you up in a moment, but thanks for tuning in here to PCSN Live.
ProTech Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
Unlock the power of your home's value with a home equity line of credit from Whitaker Bank. This is Angie Rogers. I'm a loan officer at Whitaker Bank in Stanton. With a home equity line of credit or a HELOC from Whitaker Bank, enjoy the flexibility to access your home's equity whenever you need it. Funds from a HELOC can be used for home improvements, education expenses, debt consolidation, and so much more. If you would like to learn more, give me a call at 606-663-2283. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
If you're 45 or older, it's recommended you begin colorectal cancer screening. A colonoscopy at Clark Regional Medical Center is a screening that helps find and identify cancers early when treatment is most effective. Prioritize your well-being with a proactive step towards good health. Your health matters. At Clark Regional Medical Center, we're here to help you choose a healthy future. Choose well. Visit us online at clarkregional.org.
Since
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across Central and Eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandpa. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridge Stone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
May you be gifted with countless blessings this holiday season and in the year to come. Merry Christmas from your friends at Mercy Health, Irvin Primary Care.
Now that last commercial, you got to love it because it's an attention getter.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a misplaced spot, but Merry Christmas.
Yeah, for Mercy Health. It's so early. Listen, Christmas in July. I'll be here before you know it.
The snow will definitely melt today. But anyway, now that we've talked about the all-two-way, kind of explained what it is, let's go to Powell County Baseball for a second.
So the Pirates, we've talked about them, obviously, early on before the season started. We knew this was going to be a solid team. Our concern was hitting. We knew that they had the pitching. It just goes back to hitting. Obviously, the game that we did, Montgomery County, this team very patient up at the plate,
yeah.
Not really swinging a lot of bad pitches or anything. 22-5, led by Coach Frank Spencer, again doing an outstanding job. And obviously, the 2A champions, state champions, unbelievable run. They started off, as you mentioned, they ended up, they defeated, they defeated Fleming County.
They started Fleming
to kind of get things going from there, but then they ended up turning around and defeated Rowan County 10-9, which was a great game. That was kind of one of those back and forth games. Pirates win that one. Then they turned around and played Estill County.
In the championship game,
defeated the Engineers. Another really good game. Then they head off to Owensboro for the 2A championships. They defeated DeSales out of Louisville 2-0.
And first inning, 2 runs in the first. That was it.
Right, yeah. Then they defeated Warren East in
last year's
8 champions. Innings. Right, in 8 innings, 7-5. Then they defeated Taylor County 9-8 in 8 innings to win. So you have back-to-back extra inning games. You win. You defeat the Rowan County team who 10-run ruled you earlier in the season. So the fact that the Pirates did that, and then I'll go beyond that. So they come back after winning the state championship. Then they play Breathitt County. They go 8 innings in that one. They're down 3-0, 3 runs in the 7th. Then turn around and get to tie it up.
Sort of
and then
six.
Get...
5 or 6 or something.
Yeah, and then turn around and get 7 runs in the top of the 8th inning to win 10-3. Again, impressive, but very patient. Again, we
got to end on a bad note.
What's that? Oh, the PRP game. You want to go there real quick?
We did lose to now ranked 4th in the state, PRP.
Pleasure Ridge Park out of Louisville. It's the area I grew up in.
Defeated Powell 4-0 at Concordia. Well, I don't know why they went to Concordia to play either, but anyway.
It was a classic. It was a tournament, basically.
A long way for PRP to travel for a game.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yes, they played two. So, they actually played Paintsville and beat them like 11 to nothing or something.
So, I mean, I looked at this too, Kenny. I'm going to get away from Packany for a second. I'll come right back. Packany's down in the top 25. We're ranked 24th. We went in last week at 25 after the state championship. We defeated Taylor County, who was ranked 4th at the time. So Powell slid in. They weren't even a mention prior to the state tournament, the 2A. So now they slid into 25 last week, bumped up to 24 this week. Only loss they have right now is to PRP, who is ranked 4. Shouldn't slide down from that. They keep doing what they're doing. Now, the wins. Two things. We had a lead in a couple games, and we were down in others. So the team does not want to quit or give up. That's the first thing.
That's a fact. Absolutely.
Secondly, depth of pitching is fantastic, and they're getting timely hitting. And we talked about this on the broadcast with Montgomery. 1 through 9, I'm not sure there's a weakness.
I would agree with that.
I mean, you might look at a stat and see somebody batting 270. Dude, when you get to the bottom of the order and you've got three really good contact guys at the bottom, they put the ball in play a lot. And one of them, I think, moved to the top here recently. Poe. Did he move to the top of the order?
No, he did not.
He stayed toward the bottom?
Yeah. He's still sixth, maybe, sixth or seventh.
But, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, he's one of those elite top hitters right now. He's just hit the ball really well. Dylan Carter went from the bottom to the top, and he stayed solid. So I'm telling you, this team, this has been their Achilles heel for the last couple of seasons. Now, we'll say this too. They have a volunteer coach that has been helping them, that some of the coaches have told me this guy deserves a lot of the credit because he's doing their hitting. And I can't think of his name right now. He's a friend of Josh Begley's, works with him, I think, at UPS. But they say this guy, he was a former high school coach as well. And basically, he's their hitting coach. He got him started this summer to be able to try to get these kids about mental approach to hitting. Nothing technical. It's a mental approach to hitting. And I think it is, I mean, the world of these kids. And also, I want to give some credit to Frank Spencer for a couple things. Number one, his daughter had a cheer competition at Disney World while the boys were at the all 2A. So Frank manned up and I think did the proudful thing. I'm proud of Frank for this. And a lot of coaches would have chosen their team over the family. Kudos to Frank. He chose his family first. Big time kudos. And I know it was hard. Watch your team win and be successful while you're there, and credit your coaches that were with you and may have coached differently. I don't know, but bottom line is Frank's there the entire season, and I always heard if you are well coached, it doesn't matter who the coaches are at the game, you should be able to play. And this team right now doesn't matter. They've got them to where they're playing really well. They know what their expectations are. They're very senior laden. You got
the infield.
Infield all senior. They're,
yeah, with the exception of the
second
catcher.
Base every now and then too.
Yeah,
right?
Well, from your first, second, third, and short are all seniors.
Unless Nichols pitching, and I think they rotate somebody into second.
Correct.
It's not, right.
Correct.
Other than that, yes, it's all seniors, and your outfield is all underclassmen along with your catcher,
Levi Wells, Dylan Carter, and Carter Poe.
Yeah, and then now your most of your pitchers. Drew Miller behind the plate. Your pitchers are. All solid. You got Kyle as a senior, and I think of your key pitchers, he's the only senior, right?
Kyle?
Of your key pitchers.
No.
You got five really good pitchers, and in my opinion. You've got Kyle, Lacey Dickin is one or two, arguably Cole 1A, 1B, whatever you want to look
Austin at. Austin Begley gets in to pitch.
Austin Begley. Ethan Wireman and
Kane Knox,
Kyle Knox, who I thought was probably one of the best control pitchers
Ethan Wireman
in a while.
Is, you know.
So all five of those guys pitched the 2A. I'm not sure not sure Kane pitched, but he's playing a lot of positions now for the Powell County Pirates with his bat. You're talking about next year coming back in with his team. Four really solid pitchers coming back along with those four key players that are in the outfield and the catcher you have. Listen, this team's just going to reload. And I'm not knocking our seniors. I love L-Dub, Cam, Kyle, Austin. Those guys are really good. But I think the baseball is just going to keep it rolling. I really think that. Now, here's the problem that they're going to have. The emotion of what they just went through to win the 2A state tournament, and the kudos to the parents and players and all, win a game, extra inning game versus Warren East, leave as soon as the game is over, come home for prom, the parents get them back in the vehicles at 5 a.m. to go back to Owensboro to play Taylor County for the championship.
Who was number one at the time.
Now, think about, I'm telling you, that was an ordeal. When you have to drive, three and a half to four hours?
Yeah, 3.5 to 4.
That's a lot of road time. Again, it probably gave the kids maybe a little rest time. They could sleep on the way back. But for all the emotions they go through and to go back to finish that up, pretty proud of the Pirates and the Pirate parents who escorted them back and forth. I mean, it took the entire community of Powell County Baseball to get that done. So congratulations to Powell County Baseball. You all chipped in, the parents, the players, the coaches, everybody was involved in that victory. So you couldn't leave anybody out, because if you did, you were mistaken.
You're right. Now, I will say this. So not only Frank Spencer, the head coach, but then you have Josh Begley, Bert Napier, Zach Skidmore, Rick Riggs, and Zach Avina, who are
Zach
involved.
I will say this,
as far as this Pirate team, to me, a big difference. It doesn't matter to them. This is one of the things I love about this team. It doesn't matter what inning it is. It doesn't matter if they're up, if they're down. They literally are approaching the plate the same way, regardless of what's happening. Yeah. And that goes back to the mental thing that you had mentioned.
And it was Avina. I don't know him.
So again, at that point, they're patient, they're disciplined. Again, it doesn't matter what the score is. They're just getting up there. I'm just trying to get on base and make something happen, right? Next player, I'm just trying to get on base and make something happen. But there's no pressure. Well, I don't think that they even feel the pressure, because, again, that state of mind that they have, they're just going up doing what they would do, first inning or seventh inning. Doesn't matter.
I give these coaches a lot of credit, but I'll also say this. This group was well-schooled in travel ball for their beginnings.
And obviously these players have been playing
a lot of baseball. I'm telling you, since they were 5 or 6, these kids have been going at it. And when you had that much baseball, dude, it really translates when you play together for this long.
Well, in your infield, with the exception of your catcher, those guys have been starting since they were freshmen. Yeah. You know,
pretty amazing feat these guys have done. Yeah. And I wish them luck. It's really going to be hard to keep the emotion up through the rest of the season. And I look at it this way. Estill County, we still haven't seen their best pitcher. Strategy? Yes, obviously it's strategy. They think there's one game that's important. They could care less about regular season, district 1C, 2C. Doesn't really matter to Estill. They're hiding their pitcher for when they play Powell in the district championship.
Sure. Yeah,
and I'm not sliding Owsley and Lee. I know they still have to play. But the scores are just so lopsided, it may not make a difference. But when they've seen our aces and we haven't seen theirs, with three really close games with Estill, the fourth one's going to be – could be tough.
It could be tough. And I will say this, going back to the 2A real quick. So the all-tournament team, Lacey Dickin, Drew Miller, Cam Del Rosario, L.W. Napier, and then the most valuable player, Kyle Nickel. So, again, a solid performance by these guys to win the 2A against tough competition. Yeah. Again, even going back to the PRP game, a couple errors by the Pirates. But I will say this, too. PRP was winning or winning their games by an average of 11 runs.
I don't.
So, therefore, you lose 4-0 and a couple of errors cost you some of those runs, I mean, nothing but respect. No, that's awesome.
When I looked at the polls, I looked at the polls today and yesterday and the new poll, and this is what's kind of a bad thing. Six Louisville schools, top 25. Four out of the Lexington region are in the top 25, maybe five. Four or five of the teams from Owensboro area are in the top 25. You're talking 15 or 16 of the top 25 schools in the state in three regions of baseball. You're three teams are going to be going. 13 teams are going to get eliminated of the best teams in the state. Now,
yeah,
that shows you where the power and the strength of baseball. I would say Louisville West, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, that's kind of,
you can almost say that in football as well.
Yeah, and I would throw in Lexington because the talent in Lexington area is pretty amazing too. Yeah. But as far as baseball is concerned, man, you go west of Lexington, different style of baseball. It's totally different. But
yeah,
so for our team to be able to hold up to that, kudos for your Pirates this year.
Yeah, and PRP, you know, even going back to that game, PRP is one of those teams that they are known for baseball, about like Harrison County.
Always in the mix for a state championship.
Always in the mix, exactly. So, again, for the Pirates, you know, to lose, that was their fifth loss of the season.
Oh, I don't.
But still, that's.
It's a loss, but it's, like you said, it's 4-0. You're right there.
So, yeah.
Powell County is right there in with the big guys this year. They've played some close games, but that, to me, that's a winner. When you can win the close ones, that shows me a winning team. And lost any of those games, derails that feat, but they didn't lose. They won. So kudos to the Pirates. Keep it rolling. And
I will say this real quick too. So, you know, they're obviously in the driver's seat as far as the district is concerned. They got a big game coming up on May the 6th. The Pirates travel to Hazard. Coach Varney, former Pirate head coach, coaching Hazard now. And then on Wednesday, Wolf County here at home, Matt Rigsby, former Powell County Pirate, coaching that team's got them in a really good position. And then the Pirates will host, Rockcastle County on the 9th, Prestonsburg on the 10th. On the road for that game. So again, you've got some tough games. Mason County still on the schedule. Owsley County one more game. Paintsville, Fleming, and then Hazard here at home. So again, tough stretch going down.
Yeah.
But again,
That's how you could finish.
Correct. And I think that this team, though, very methodical, disciplined, they know their goal, right? It was great to get the 2A, right? But they have higher aspirations, you know, to
you
continue to move
for
on.
That, you're just might as well write off the season, but you can't settle for that. That's what I'm saying. The 2A could get in the way. Hope it doesn't.
I don't think with this team it will. I think their mental approach, their discipline, again, the way that they come out and they play, they're expecting the best from themselves, from their teammates, right? And we're just going to keep rolling on.
And us.
Yep, right. Again, it doesn't matter if they're down or not. They're not giving up. They're
a
solid team.
But how tough is it when you're the target? Everybody in this region wants to knock off the Pirates because of what they've accomplished.
Yeah. So, I don't think that even bothers Powell.
I don't think so either. But
yeah,
for Hazard, for Knott, for Perry, for Letcher, for Breathitt,
Wolf
having success with winning the All-A on our region. Perry was in the all 2A also, I believe. I know they were softball. I'm not
they would have been
baseball.
In a different sectional.
Different sectional.
Yeah.
But I think they were in 2A also, but I'm not sure.
Not County Central's who it was.
Yes,
not
County.
Not, yeah.
Correct.
Not Perry. It was
That's
not.
That's who Warren East defeated, right? In Owensboro.
Yeah, correct, yes.
So two teams out of the 14th.
Made it.
Made
it
to state. Nice.
So again, they just got to keep rolling on, keep on the path that you're continuing on. Again, stay disciplined, stay focused. Again, keep swinging those bats. Don't be swinging at things outside the strike zone, and good things are happening, and obviously that's where they are.
Not for the next couple of days, right?
Well, there you go.
See you next week for the Falcon Pirates. We'll take another couple of breaks here.
We'll have that Wolf County game, I'm sure, for you as well while I'm thinking about it.
I'm sorry. Yeah. For other big news we got coming up, stay tuned.
Yeah.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Hey, I'm Wyatt Denniston, the new owner of Stanton Ace Hardware. At ACE, we are known for being the helpful place, and we pride ourselves in accomplishing that goal each day with each customer. We're focused on bringing a new selection of great products with you in mind, including quality knives like Case Knives, built with integrity for people of integrity. Steel chainsaws, trimmers, and lawnmowers. That's right, I said lawnmowers. And simply the best, Skag Power Equipment. Shop local, save money, and get quality products from people who love this community. We are Stanton Ace Hardware, supporting the broadcast of our Powell County Pirates.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton, or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Allen's Hardware is a hidden gem in Clay City and known for their dependable down-home service. Visit Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road and you'll find Valspar Paints, Echo Power Tools, Electrical Supplies, Septic System Accessories, Key Cutting Services, and even U-Haul Rentals. That's Allen's Hardware at 30 Black Creek Road in Clay City. To find out more, call 606-663-1122. That's 606-663-1122.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back. Before we talk about Kentucky basketball or something a little bit later, I do have some other big news from Powell County to talk about. We had a high school basketball head coach vacancy. So that was dramatic.
That was dramatic.
But since then, we've hired Josh Groh, who was the middle school coach for the last few years. This year had a really great, really good season. And I'm not sure you were promoted, but he was hired as the new varsity basketball coach at Powell County. He will take over as of right now. He's already doing the open gyms and things. So he's taking over the program, and he'll run with it for next year.
I think it's a good hire. I think it was a logical step, especially after the success he had at the middle school. We know you've done the average 2.5 years. If he stays four, as far as his son will be a freshman, just saying at that point, if he stays the 4 years, you know what I'm saying, and we have to find somebody else. I mean, I don't care if he stays for 50 years. I'm just saying in general. But, like, you know, you get him past the 2.5 and get to the four, you know, he'll have success. There's no doubt that he'll have success. You know, got a good, solid foundation as far as the players that are returning, plus the players that are coming up, again, expecting good things for them.
Josh, I was assistant coach when Josh played high school ball. For Glenn Conyers. He also played for Mike Stacy, I think, as far as a head coach. Josh was always a leader on the floor.
Point guard. Yep.
He led our team. He was he had another teammate, also did a lot of leading. But when you're the point guard and people respect you and trust you and like you, you're going to get their attention.
He was a floor general in many respects. He was a very unselfish player at the same time. He could hit that shot when he needed to.
He had a great jump shot. He handled the ball really well.
Yeah.
And I think that he's got a lot of, you know, the Crow family. You know, Mike was assistant coach with Dave, and
he played himself.
He was also the head coach here for several years. And Sissy was the girls' assistant for quite a few years. Mark played for the state or the regional championship team in 74. His dad and Josh and Jared both played. Again, I got to coach him a little bit and honored that group of kids with some of the best kids we've ever had. And I'll go back and look at all of them and what quality kids they were when they played. And I say that for this reason. There are some negatives with Josh, and I'll just be honest. The negative would be people are going to say no high school experience. Okay, and then that's an argument. And I think that's the only hit on Josh. He's not young anymore. He's a little older. He's upper 30s, I believe. So Josh is a kid I've been begging, and he could probably tell you, I begged him to get involved in high school coaching because I think that it's not just – I don't look at coaching just for coaching. Josh can be – he is a lay leader at church, youth minister, does a lot of youth work with kids. He's now a person in the community that people look up to. He's a dean of students at the high school. He has now excelled his when I always wanted to become a principal. I think he is a natural leader. Now, if I think that he's a natural leader, obviously he could coach a basketball team because the only thing there are things about head coaching that are different than middle school or whatever you've done. It is different. But there's nothing I don't think this kid will do to embarrass himself, the community, his team. It's a good fit for us. And you're getting a leader with Josh that is, again, he's got his life set up the right way. And if he can instill that into these kids, you already won.
Well, that goes beyond sport.
You already win.
Right? That goes beyond the sport. You know, I mean, there is a foundation that he brings to the table that those kids will fall right in line with him. And obviously the kids that he coached even at the middle school, right? You step into a new arena, but at the same time, he's still on solid foundation with his own personal self, right, and therefore that's going to command that respect. And obviously, as a former player, he knows what it takes as well.
Well, like I said, I have the utmost respect for Josh as a person. I haven't seen him coach a lot. I mean, I'll be honest. I haven't. Again, we'll make comments next year when we play.
Right.
But I don't – to me, it almost doesn't matter. I mean, if he can be the role model these kids need or I won't say a father figure, Josh, but I will say a father figure because you got kids that are juniors and freshmen, right? So he's old enough to obviously be their father. So he's a person this team, these kids can look up to and respect. And hopefully they'll do that, and hopefully he'll insist on it. And it's an easy fit. And if your kids can get that kind of leadership away from home, man, you couldn't ask for better. And I think that was a lot of the outpouring during the ugliness of this situation. But I think it turned out right.
Well, I think with the ugliness, just as a brief thing, so I think that he resigns. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, well, he's resigning because he's going to get the job. He doesn't get the job. Those same
officially.
People. Well, okay, but the people that were complaining about it being political, that he would be the next coach, then turned around when he didn't get hired, they're the same ones who are complaining, like, well, why didn't he get hired? Well, you were already thinking it was an inside job. And
you didn't want it, right?
You didn't want it, but then all of a sudden, then when he didn't get it, then you're complaining because he didn't get it. So, I mean, that's
it's
just,
like this.
You know.
I will say this.
He's a good hire regardless.
I will say this about Powell County. We're so fickle. We so forget. And I'm not trying to do anything here to lower this because I'm really proud of Josh. What he's done, what he's going to do, I do think he'll do great things. That being said, I'm not real proud of the way our community has acted.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
it's kind of like this: when Coach Martin came in, he was a guy that led his middle school team, had a couple of years under his belt, brought him in. But y'all, for 2 years, we listened to people we want to get rid of Allen, right?
Yeah.
Now we want the same request for Josh. He's got this team through; they were successful in middle school. How well they're going to be at the high school level. Please give him a chance. Don't just kind of bail on him real quick. I think we do that so often, the basketball coaches here.
That goes back to the 2.5 years. That's the average.
Yes.
2.5 years. Now think about
Alan
that.
Alan was actually here a little bit longer than the average. Four. So he surpassed the average.
But still, to think you went back to like the 70s or something on that. But you
know, if we're going to hire a local person, and now we've got Josh, we have to have a person in that position that wants to stay there for 10, 12 years. And Josh has been in the system for a while. He's been in teaching now for, 15, 16 years. So if he could retire out while he's coaching basketball, we would see the longest tenured coach in Powell County history. We would see a lot of things. You could reestablish the youth program going through because it helps your team in the future. All these things are on his plate right now. And it's just about how he wants to address the next 10 years of his life. I mean, it's a lot of time away from home. And he's always told me his family has to come first. I'll take it back. God comes first, then family, then everything else. That's kind of who Josh is. And if you don't like that, then get off the way.
Well, that's why I said, if he's able to stay 4 years and then he decides to leave, guess what? Hopefully within those 4 years, he was successful. Again, yes. If he stays beyond that, that'd be on him. But in general terms, again, I think
it's about
the ball's in his court. No pun intended, but you know,
because successful he will be.
Yeah, I think
wins,
yeah.
Losses.
He's already been successful.
Yeah, wins and losses. I don't even care really. I do care, but the most important thing is to get somebody, a role model in there that can teach these kids the right way, get some respect back to the game, get some respect back to the individuals, some respect back to the school. Josh is perfect to do all that.
Yeah.
And forget about talking basketball, just life in general. Get these kids where they need to be, and hopefully the community will be supportive. And and if he loses four in a row, don't just start attacking. This party's got to learn now. He's got to learn to be a high school varsity coach.
And tougher skin.
It's a lot tougher. I told Alan this 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever it was. He asked me about applying for the job. I said, Alan, are you ready to lose a lot of your friends? Are you ready for people to become enemies that were your friends? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, that's what's going to happen as the high school basketball coach. As a local person coaching in a high-profile sport, you will lose people who you thought were your friends that you could trust. And again, with Josh, I still think that will happen some. But you have to be able to put that on with blinders and go forward and not worry about it, because that's part of the coaching position.
Yeah, because people will question, well, why is this kid playing and this kid's not playing? Yes. But you don't see what practices are. Like I'm just saying, again, let the coaches make those decisions.
Yeah, I have the world of, confidence and faith in Alan. And I didn't coach Alan, but I did coach Josh. I know what he's made of. I know what he's going to bring. I've been around Josh since he was little, through church and through youth groups, and you can't have much better family support. And he's been like an adult when he was 15. I mean, the kid he's phenomenal. So I don't have enough kind words for Josh. So that being said, I think he's a wonderful addition out of the coaching
staff. I would agree. And I will say this, we tried to get him on last week, schedule conflict. We'd hope to get him on this week, schedule conflict again. Next week, we're going to do the Wolf Powell baseball game, so we won't have him then. So
might wait till next fall.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, we might wait till we come back, next season in that regard, as far as like letting him
get
a little bit more established.
Next few Wednesdays, again, you got Wolf County next Wednesday, and then the 15th. Well, you may have our game on the 15th. I'm not sure if you do or not. We play the 15th, and then the next district championship. Hopefully, Powell County is still involved, but if not, Estill County will be on the radio, so we won't be on anyway. If Estill County's in the district championship game or Powell. So that being said, the next 3 weeks are pretty tight. I'd say won't be much.
Yeah. And then we were just basically going to try and squeeze him in some respects again.
And
unfortunately,
season ends,
it just didn't happen.
Ends too, for just a little while, and before we start back, in August, usually we'll have about a month off from the show, and we'll come back, I think, mid-August.
So, again, we won't have anything on the 8th. Powell is at Fleming on the 15th, which would be that following week, but I'm not sure where you all are on the 15th.
We're at home with Penafee on senior night.
Well, see, we'd be doing that one then. So, but anyway, regardless, anyway. Hey, whether we have him on sooner or later, congratulations again to Josh Crow being the new head basketball coach for the Pike County Pirates.
I think it was a good decision. Finally got to, yeah. And it's well deserved. Got some stuff about fishing, bass fishing?
I do, actually. Bass fishing, Garrett Smallwood and Tylen Rice missed qualifying for the state this past weekend by 1 ounce. That's like losing a 100-yard dash or something by, like, you know, a hundredth of a second or something. Yes. I mean, like, nothing, right? 1 ounce missed out on that. But they will have a team trail on the Ohio River out of Maysville on May the 18th. And then they'll have a fish off on June the 1st. And then the world finals will be June the 15th. So the Pirates have already qualified for
nationals. And yeah. They still have a chance for the worlds. Just will not have a qualifier for state competition first time in 4 years.
Correct. Yeah, I know. That's 1 ounce. That's unbelievable. But still, congratulations, though, you know, the team. Again, Coach Julie Clark, again, the success, the assistant coaches and everything. Yeah.
Boat captains.
Yeah.
Everybody included. That's a lot of people to be involved with right there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we'll wrap it up on this, basically. Obviously, we've not had a chance to be on air. It's kind of old news at this point. But Mark Pope, new head coach, University of Kentucky. Everybody was kind of a little questionable. I think everybody was kind of shocked, but once it's kind of settled in, I think everybody understood, well, right, where he's are. And obviously the press conference with wrong. That many people.
I was wrong.
In what way?
Well, I thought Pope was an okay hire because we're going to keep Reed Shepherd.
I thought once we went through the early people, right, once you went through those early, you know, people and they decided not to, obviously, Mark Pope wasn't really on anybody's radar other than maybe Mitch Barnhart.
Oh, I think he was on Barnhart the entire time.
And people are not familiar with West Coast basketball, right? By the time we're all in bed, by the time BYU was playing.
And they played in the NCAA tournament.
Correct, yes, that they did. So I think the fact that he's been here, done that, he's getting great additions out of the portal, taking some away from...
He's going to get his entire team except for one out of the portal, right?
Listen, he is outdoing recruiting Duke, North Carolina, Arkansas.
They say he's number one in the nation as far as portal transfers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So with that being said, he's got a couple more holes to fill, but I think people are going to be excited about what's going on.
If he gets two more, he's probably almost set with this
it could be a
rotation
sleeper team. And obviously with the style, if you watch any film,
we're getting men.
Well, but like at this point, we're not even top 25.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm saying
though.
Now that's not obviously that'll change.
With
the
recruits they've got from the portal. And I'm not saying he's going to win the national championship year one, cause that's going to be tough to do. But, the difference between this team and Cal's teams is Pope is going to have a lot of seniors and juniors.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure Cal will have a lot of freshmen. And we have seen the freshman route does not work well as far as going
to
the
tournament.
Well, at
this point, Coach Cal's only got like three players. And a majority of his incoming
–
correct, but a majority of his team who entered the portal and or his incoming freshmen that were going to be coming in next year, they're not necessarily following him. And I'm not quite sure what it says, if it says that Arkansas is not the destination or if it says Coach Cal is not the destination.
I think the brand of basketball that Kentucky produces is still Kentucky.
100%.
Kentucky can recruit by itself. But Mark Pope, with some assistants that he's got around him that are really good recruiters.
The coaching staff that he has assembled, probably among the best in the nation at this point.
At what they do, because they have specific roles that we haven't had before. And we see all the disorganization that Coach Cal apparently left with over a lot of the paperwork and assignments. And that was a mess coming out of Cal. So they've got a lot to fix. But I'm telling you what, Mark Pope's getting the start
the
right.
The energy surrounding the program based on the press conference alone when he was introduced, that'll never be repeated again. That just goes to show Big Blue Nation is, again, we are UK in that regard.
And, you know, they brought one of their own back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Can you imagine the players now that... I'm not saying that Cal didn't have players coming and going, but don't you think now with Mark Pope, one of their own, they'll all come back, right? It'll
because
be a whole different thing.
Once you wore that
thing.
Kentucky jersey, you still wore that Kentucky jersey, whether you play for Cal,
correct?
Joe B, Tubby.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You played for Kentucky. They'll all be back to support Mark Pope and this program. I don't know many people that left here or went on to the NBA or wherever they went and didn't want to come back to Kentucky. It's still Kentucky.
He's injected a whole new energy that this program has been lacking for the past 5+ years.
And I won't knock Cal, because Cal got a quick
start.
He did good early, and then kind of, I don't know, he just lost his, I don't know, he lost something. I think he kind of sold himself on what he was doing was the way to do it, and it was obviously not what people wanted. I like the fact that Mark Pope gets a contract that is incentive laden on wins, on winning tournaments.
Yeah.
Winning the SEC tournament, winning games in the NCAA. Incentive laden on those, not just a big paycheck. Cal didn't get anything incentives as far as winning the SEC tournament.
No, and he didn't care about it.
No, didn't care. So, again, I think if you paid him to care, he would have cared more. But apparently he didn't, and it showed, and I think that's what bit
the team in the NCAA.
That's what
because if the SEC game doesn't matter if you win or lose, right? And all of a sudden now you go into the next game. Well, that game didn't matter. It's hard to flip the script and all of a sudden make this game matter now.
Well, and it hasn't mattered anyway with your recruits because they still go to the NBA.
True.
So it wasn't about Kentucky basketball. It was about Cal.
Yeah.
Mark Pope is about Kentucky basketball. That's what's exciting. And it's the same thing, I think, with Josh coming back in. I think he's going to have some of that. You know, Allen played here too, but, you know, Josh was on – I would say maybe a little bit. Well, I think there were better teams.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
that I helped coach. But I think when you interject someone of that nature, then man, people get excited again. That's what you want. You want excitement around the programs because excitement means more numbers. Maybe you get different people out. Maybe somebody moves in. You get energy coming. That's what it needs. We just need a little shot of energy into all of our programs.
Yeah,
and
more student athletes.
Bring them on.
That would probably be the biggest thing, more so than even coaching to some extent.
Got to have some facilities to do too. But anyway,
the fact that the energy level is back with Kentucky basketball, then the women's basketball, Kenny Brooks. I mean, my gosh,
feel bad for that guy, though.
Listen though, but he's. I mean, as far as the portal and everything, him bringing in the whole new energy. You've got UK women's. Volleyball was just in the final.
Gymnastics, baseball,
tennis, yeah, baseball, top 8. Women's softball, top 25.
I really think
exciting time for UK athletics.
I know Mitch Barnhart had a little bit of hot water going on somewhere, but I don't think there's a better sports program than UK in the nation as far as overall sports. Look how many teams that are doing really well
that are top 25. Yeah.
That don't happen like that.
No.
I mean, it's no accident. UK has built, they've paid for, they've got these facilities. You build it, they will come, and they have, and we are doing well in all of our other sports. Now, hopefully, we'll get the pay balanced out with other coaches, because your baseball coach is doing well. Your softball coach has kind of rebranded Kentucky softball.
She has, yeah.
Rachel Lawson deserves more money, more respect. And again, if you're coaching all year at a college, you deserve respect anyway. But UK does it; they do it really well.
Now, obviously, Coach Cal wanted a new training facility, right? Practice facility or whatever. Barnhart wouldn't give it to him. How long do you think it'll take before Pope gets it without him even asking?
It may have some chickens or some.
It doesn't matter. I don't care if the Tysons or the Waltons or
whoever,
or even Jones out of Dallas, right? You know, who cares where the money comes from?
Well, I mean,
you know,
he's going to get money. He's going to get in, but will he win? I'm not sure. Arkansas, I can remember Arkansas because Nolan Richardson, it was Arkansas for a while.
Yeah, but
they have had how, they, but that's been a while, right?
But that, yeah, because that was back when the 3-point line was just coming in, the shot clock was just coming in, and
he
played those 40 minutes. He was the guy.
Nolan Richardson was a fantastic head coach.
Yeah, but they've not
years.
Been anything since then.
Nope. So we'll see if Cal can bring it back to Arkansas.
Well, now at this point, though, I don't think he can. I think the mojo is gone at this point because he stepped down. He went down. He didn't go up. He went down. It wasn't even a lateral move.
There's not many places you can go to go up from UK.
I think the fact that his players didn't necessarily all of them follow him, enter the transfer portal going elsewhere, I think that says a lot.
Well,
now,
when they,
and I don't blame him. Of all players, I do not blame him, and here's why.
But
because
he
helped.
Big Z.
Well, because of eligibility issues, okay. When he finally ended up getting instated to be able to play, and I think that's the only reason he followed him, because he realized that he worked hard to get him.
But he still didn't play him, quote.
Not like he probably should have. So now the game, Arkansas at home against Kentucky. What kind of response does Coach Cal get when he's introduced?
It's all booze.
50-50?
Nope.
Rick Pitino will get about 50-50.
Rick Pitino will get
when
more
he played
than that.
For Louisville.
He'll get more than that. Rick Pitino.
Now that he's at St. John's, he will.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
But when he played Louisville, it was 50-50 because I went to a couple of those
Cal
games.
Doesn't, Cal doesn't get the same response as Pitino.
But do you think that he gets booed mostly?
Yes.
That'll be interesting, right?
I mean, listen, I think the guy.
That'll be a primetime game.
I think the guy did well at Kentucky, but I think he out.
He rested on his laurels.
I don't think ever you'll see another lifetime contract granted, maybe anywhere.
No, but I also heard, though, that boosters were having the money ready to get rid of him.
No, I'm just saying, I think that was a mistake that Barnhart made whenever it was done.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Because since the lifetime contract is when it started falling apart.
Correct.
He got satisfied.
You're exactly right. Got complacent.
So
even though he still had the top teams or whatever else, but Coach Pope, I'm sure, will be playing some defense and shooting a lot of threes.
Yes, he will.
Well, anyway, we have gone way over. We apologize for those that are waiting for the
three-week show tonight.
Next rate. We kind of did. It's been a while. Well, anyway, we'll be on the air
sometime
Monday
okay.
for girls softball, Wednesday for boys baseball. And beyond that, I'm not quite sure where we'll stand going into next week, but at least those 2 days for sure.
See y'all sometime in the future.
Thanks there you go. Listening. Go Pirates.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Toyota South, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Here's your Stanton Tourism check of the temperature.
We've got 83 degrees on the Pickup Country front porch.
We can't wait to see you at Exit 22. Visit explorestanton.com to plan your next adventure.